All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here we have a summary of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the scripture reads, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 5. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and the chapter goes on to tell about others that saw our Lord alive and the greatness and the power of our Lord's resurrection. I want to preach this morning a message from our Lord and from his word that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. There in the latter part of verse number 3, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. As the brother starts here in verse number 1, he speaks about the gospel. And he's declaring the gospel, the good news, the glad tidings of God, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of sinners, just like you and me. That's the reason that Jesus came, is that he might be a savior unto sinners. He says that he is preaching this. He preached it unto those there at Corinth, a declaration. He says, I declare unto you the gospel. He's holding it forth. As it says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And he's preaching that gospel. You know, those who are saved enjoy having the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ preached unto them. Those that are without Christ, they may not like it. Now, those that are without Christ that maybe the Lord's working on, maybe they're beginning to like it and see hope in it. But he's preaching that, and we preach that, we declare that unto sinners in the ministry, the spearhead of the commission that our Lord has given, the preaching of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, him having died for our sins, and that's our focus here this morning. It's foolishness to the world. It may become foolishness to a backsliding child of God. But who we are saved and understand what our Lord has done for us, indeed it is the power of God, as the brother writes in Romans. He's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it is the power of God unto salvation to all men, women, boys, and girls. He says here, I preached it and you have received it. You have received it, he says there in verse number 1. In John 1, verses 12 and 13, but as many as received him... See, that he says, you've received it. He's going to tell. He said, I've received it. What I've received, I'm declaring unto you. You have received it. Receive the gospel. Receive the God-man of the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive God, the Lord Jesus Christ, him on his terms. You know, some would say, what do you think about Jesus? Well, I think he's a pretty good guy. What do you think about Jesus? I'm glad he died for me. Amen. I'm glad he died for me and was buried and rose again. I'm glad that he died for me. Where he says, ye have received it. And John, as I was reading, John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Then it goes on in verse 13 to give some clarity about the operation of God. This doesn't negate what it says in verse number 12. That's the way it works here amongst mankind. The gospel is preached. Jesus is preached. Will you receive him? Will you believe upon him? Notice what he goes on, our brother says in the continuance of the sentence, which were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but born of God. The Lord Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. How can I? He said, you need the Lord. You need our Lord. It all points us to our Lord. In John 3, verses 3 through 7, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, it's very, very important, Nicodemus. You cannot do without it. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Can't see it. Quincy won't even know that the kingdom of God's at hand. See the kingdoms of this world. See the nations of this world. See the kings of this world, as Brother Stephen pointed out in some of the history and the order of the scriptures. You can see those kingdoms. But I tell you what, if you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. But, you know, being born again, you can see and know the kingdom of God. You know you're a part of the kingdom of God. And being saved, you know you're a child of the king. Notice the relationship there, a subject for another time. He says, which are born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. All of this has been God's idea from the beginning. He's the one that determined to send the Savior. He's the one that brought His Scripture. He's the one that moves with His Spirit. He's the one that has ordained and instituted churches to go and hold forth His gospel and to baptize those that believe and to teach to observe all the things that He's given us in His church to do, and then go do it again and go do it again and go do it again. It's our Lord's idea and it's His work, and it comes here unto us. He answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can he be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verse 5 of John 3, Jesus answered, here you go. Verily, verily, it's very, very important. You cannot do without it. I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, natural birth, and of the Spirit, spiritual birth, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Can't see it. Can't enter into it. And know that you're a member of it without being born again. You need to be birth of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Yeah, you get that, don't you? Some ladies that we've been praying for have had their babies. They didn't have monkeys or cows or anything like that, did they? They had babies. And sometimes when we were younger, we might have behaved like monkeys. All right? But we're not. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's her child. James, Matthew, Joseph, your children, they're your children, and they don't look exactly like you, but they favor you, and they behave like us, and some things that we wish they didn't, they're ours. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. You know what? That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of God looks to God, loves God, and wants to behave and operate like God. Amen? And so as he tells Nicodemus, that's the case. Ye have received is the point there in 1 Corinthians 15. Again, he goes on to say, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse 7 of John 3, marvel not, don't have your mouth dropped open, and don't be alarmed, that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Are you here and you're not saved? Do you know it? Has the Lord shown you that? Do you know that you're a sinner before the Lord, condemned and guilty before Him, and without hope and without Christ? You must be born again. Repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to the Lord with every issue and problem you have. Fear, lack of understanding, lack of faith to believe, conviction about the things that you need to be convicted by the Lord. You can go to the Lord with everything you've got. You know what? He has the answer for all of it, too. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now I'm not saying like this, hey, you, call upon the Lord. Lord, it's not an incantation unto salvation. It's not an incantation unto salvation. I tell you what, do you see yourself a sinner? Do you see yourself on the way to hell like you are? Like it's the truth. It's the truth that you are without Christ. And when you and your sin, without any Savior, you're on your way to hell. And the Lord Jesus Christ died for sinners like you. Do you see that? I tell you what, call out unto the Lord to be merciful unto you. Call out unto the Lord to help you and give you what you need. Call out unto the Lord to birth you again in godly sorrow and repentance of your sins and yourself and your wicked way. Call out unto Him. He's got the answer. He says, ye have received it. Receive Him and His gospel personally for you, for your need and payment of your sins, for forgiveness, for everlasting life, and for living the rest of your time for Him. Our sister has come, and you know what? We need to pray for her. We need to pray one for another. She could have a hard road in front of her, but our Lord could intervene in that. He could work. But you know what? He can give her the power. He can give us the power and the help and the strength. So we look to Him and we go to Him. You know what? There may be grief. There will be heartache. It is with much tribulation we do enter into the kingdom, our Lord tells us. But you know what? The Lord can sustain and He can help. Each and every one of us and all the things that we face, our Lord knows all about it. He's been there. He gets it. He understands it all. I don't understand what Brother Nicky's going through. I don't. I live to a little bit of degree, but not completely of what he's going through, the pain that he's having in that. I don't understand that. Our Lord does. Our Lord understands that. And Brother Nicky, forgive me. I'll use you for a while. I tell you what, day after day with the pain and the not knowing if something's going to get helped and desiring of the Lord that the Lord would do something and the time goes on, there's room for discouragement. There's room to get down. I tell you what, our only hope and help is in our Lord. Whether it be to bear it, or whether our Lord has a solution, or our Lord has something in between. Maybe there's somebody that needs to be reached. That's easy for me to say, brother, but maybe that's what it is for us. We just need to trust our Lord in it all, and look to Him in it all. He's got the answer. We indeed need to receive Him and call upon Him for everything. He goes on to hear, he says, you received it, and you stand in it. We stand in Him. You don't stand for yourself. A song years ago, right? If you don't stand for something, you fall for anything. Well, there's a part of that that's truth. I tell you what, we need to stand in our Lord. Stand in Him. Again, it's a way of saying that reemphasizes to us that we need His help, His strength to be able to do so. On our own, we will fail. He says, and by which this gospel, and 1 Corinthians 15, by which ye also, verse number 2, ye are saved. We're saved by our Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel. 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, he said, come follow me. Not according to our works, what I had to offer the Lord, you had to offer the Lord, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. It even tells us about our Lord. The Scripture tells us about our Lord. He was working on our behalf before the world even began. He's in control. We don't need to fret. We don't need to fear. We don't need to fuss. Our Lord loves us with an everlasting love. We are saved. We know it. We believe what He says, and we receive our Lord Jesus Christ, and He has saved us. Titus 3, verse number 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You know what? Does the Spirit of God bear witness with your spirit that you're a son of God, that you're a child of God? Brother Jim, I'm a woman. I don't get that about being a son of God. It's okay. It's right. Being a son of God, being a child of God. That's the Lord looking at things from the eternal perspective. I tell you what, it's great to be a child, a son of God. He says, if you keep in memory, Brother Paul writes, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. You know, we personally need to keep in memory what our Lord has done for us. We're going to do that. We're going to do that this morning. Keep in memory. Remember that He died. You think about that. Some that have been in warfare, or some that have been in some situations, there are those that know what it is for someone else to step in and give their life for them. It happens amongst mankind. It happens in warfare. It happens where a soldier just instinctively will jump on the grenade that comes into the foxhole. Or that will, a parent that will cover their child. We've seen that in recent shootings where a mother was looking to cover up her children as best as she could. And maybe, and there are no doubt those policemen that would stand in harm's way to the innocent and catch the bullet of the assailant. That is known in this world. I tell you, it's known by few, but I tell you what, each and every one of us that have been saved by our Lord Jesus Christ, we do know what it's like to be rescued by one that has died for us. Do us well just to think, sit down this week and often, not just this week, but often to think about that the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, He died for me. He died for me. He took it for me. What was killing me, He took it, and He allowed it to kill him, if you will. It killed him. My sin put my Lord to death. He willingly entered into that to do that as a man. He took it for me that I might live. We need to remember that. Do us well. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, we personally need to keep in memory what our Lord has done for us. We look to remember him this morning, as I said, in Luke 22, verse 19, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. We do it to remember our Lord. A memorial. A memorial, not a celebration. Don't get it wrong. Don't get it wrong. It's a memorial. We remember him. We remember him. We are thankful that our Lord was willing to die for us. But we remember him and what he has done for us. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Can you forget about being saved? Sure can. You can get into shape. You and I can get into shape. We forgot that we were even saved. Forgot that we were purged from our old sins. You know what? We need to remember our Lord. We need to remember what our Lord has done for us, that he died for us. Unless you have believed in vain. I learned something this week, and I need to learn a lot of things, okay? I don't want that to sound wrong. But the Lord, you know, we learn one from another. I learned from Brother Bush something this week that was just a blessing to me and something to preach on here in coming passages. You have your Bible, turn to James chapter 2, verse number 17. Look right here, and we don't have time to expound upon this. We just want to point this out. James chapter 2, verse number 17 through 20. Even so, faith. Unless you have believed in vain, the Apostle Paul says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe, and they tremble, they shake. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Three kinds of faith right here. Dead faith. Dead faith. It's not moved or compelled to anything, is it? It speaks of believing. That's it. Speaks of believing. Dead faith. You know what else number two is here? Demonic faith. Look what the demons have straightened out. Jesus shows up in the presence of the demons or those possessed by the devils, and they shake, they tremble, they fear. They say, have you come to torment us before the time? Please don't cast us out into the deep. Look at what all the demons believe. They know he's the Son of God. They know he's to be worshipped. They know that they are subject to him in every whit and every way. All he has to do is want to do something to them, and it'll be done. Demonic faith. Dead faith, demonic faith, and then what do we see lastly? We see living faith. What kind of faith do you have? Have you believed in vain? There are passages that the Apostle Paul are in passages and mentioned that our Lord, or that our brother mentions, and of course it's all from our Lord, that he interjects those little things like that. Are you really saved? Do you really have the Lord? Have you believed with dead faith? How is it with you? How is it with you? Unless you have believed in vain. He says also in 1 Corinthians 15, there in verse number three, for I delivered that which I also received. It says here, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. He was saved the same way, and he's telling the same thing again unto them. He did so while he was there in Corinth for 18 months, and as he writes to them, he tells them again what he had already had given them and what he had received himself. He's giving out the same thing that he received. Our Lord has given his church, and Paul being a church man indeed, amen? He's an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a church man indeed, used of the Lord to write all the epistles to the churches, right? And he says here, I'm giving you what I received, and we as the Lord's church, we need to give out what we've received. Mark 16:15, you know it. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what he's doing. He's telling it again. May God help us so we never get bored with telling it again. It's the power of God we need to remember. What's he telling? Verse number 3, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. First, I want to focus for just for a moment on this according to the Scriptures. Turn to Luke chapter 22, verse 37. Turn to Luke chapter 22, verse number 37. According to the Scriptures. You know, this thing of the death, the crucifixion, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, it wasn't a plan B. It was always plan, the plan. There was no A or B or C. Jesus, don't believe it, as the world will tell it, that Jesus got, he came, he was a nice guy doing good things, and really had, was a special kind of fellow, and then things kind of went haywire, and then had to do something else. No, this was the plan from the beginning. Notice here, before our Lord's crucifixion and death. Simply put, in Luke chapter 22, verse number 37, "For I say unto you," Jesus speaking, "that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end." He says, folks, it's been written. I'm going to go do it. I'm going to go do it. And I'm going to bring this thing about dealing with sin and the redemption and atonement and the substitution and all those things that our Lord accomplishes, mediation and intercession. I tell you, I'm going to bring them to an end. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get it done. And we'll bring it to an end. And then he says this before he is crucified. Turn over quickly to Luke chapter 24, verse number 44. Luke 24, 44, our Lord Jesus says this after his crucifixion and death and, of course, his resurrection. Luke 24, 44, listen to this, the wording that's here. "And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you before the cross, before my burial, before my death, before I rose from the dead, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled," and what implying that which was written, "which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Paul says, "I'm writing unto you how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." It was prophesied by the Lord. You know what? Our Lord Jesus, I marvel at it. I marvel at it. Oh, let us listen to the word and the dedication of our Lord to it as he hung there on the cross. As he hung there on the cross, he has already said it is finished. But that the Scripture might be fulfilled, he saith, "I thirst." That's the way that went. Because when you look at those accounts, they gave him something to drink, and then he died. He's looking to fulfill all the Scripture about him. All the Scripture. The atonement had been paid, but there was yet one more thing to fulfill, and he fulfilled it according to the Scriptures. He is the Word indeed, isn't he? It tells us here, our brother writes, that in verse number 3, "I delivered unto you first of all that which also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." How? How? How did he die? He was crucified. Not beheaded. Not imprisoned. He was beaten. He was, in a sense, tortured to some extent. But he was crucified. Jesus says, in John 12:32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." He's the only Savior. Praise be to God. We have a Savior. We have a Savior. There's only one. And praise be to God, he's shown him unto us. He is the Savior. And he was lifted up. And indeed, he draws to himself, doesn't he? He draws to himself. Are you saved? Has he drawn you? Are you a sinner? Has the Lord shown you that you're a sinner? I tell you what, I pray the Lord to draw you to him. He died for sinners like you. Repent of your sins before God and have faith in him. Him and his gospel. He was crucified. How? How did he die? John 3, verses 13 and 15. "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven." John 3, 14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," not die, "but have eternal life." How did he die? He was crucified, wasn't he? Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. I mentioned here about the Lord Jesus Christ not being ashamed of any of his ministry. And I believe in his ministry proper, he was not. As our brother Ezekiel has seemingly had some trepidation about the people and the elders of Israel saying he's a parable speaker. Jesus had no problem with that. I tell you what, he did despise the shame of the cross. The shame, the open shame of the cross, being crucified there naked before the world, and he's the creator of it all. We need to think and consider about how our Lord died for us, how he died. And then it goes on here, and that Christ, Christ, what does that name mean? Isaiah 47:4, as for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. He is the Holy One. He is Redeemer, Messiah. He's the one appointed to it and anointed to do it. He's full of the Spirit of God. He is God, yet he came in the flesh. It's a great mystery that God would come in the flesh. Scene of angels, the angels, as they look on Christ becoming a man, they say, why? Why would he do that? Why would he step down so low? And yet as a man, the God-man, the Father declares that we and they, the angels, are to worship him, the God-man. Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus, Christ. Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, scripture fulfilled, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He's Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior. He's the Redeemer. He says here, our brother writes in 1 Corinthians 15:3, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. How he died. He died for our sins. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 3, who being in the brightness of his glory and express image of his person and upholding of all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. His sitting down on the right hand of the Father is an indication that he completed things completely. You know, the two thieves, they had nothing to do with what Jesus was doing. They were there. They were in closest proximity. But Jesus did what he did alone, by himself. You hear and saved? Jesus died for your sins by himself, for you, for me, for we that are saved. How he died in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. For the love of Christ constraineth us, not our love for him, but as we look on his love for us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. We needed it. We needed him to die. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. If Christ died for me, I needed it. And if he rose again, I indeed am to live to him, not unto myself. He died for me. He died for you. We needed it. And as a side point, he lives. And because he lives, we live. And we're going to go and live back to ourselves again? To the former desires? To the former way that we've been saved from? It's madness and untoward if we would do so, isn't it? And that he died for all, and they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Praise be to God that the Lord tells us about sin and about the death of it and all those things that it brings, but that he always tells about life. He always tells about the answer, the salvation that is in him. Romans 8, verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Who can pick on us? Who can do anything eternal to us? They've got Christ to deal with. Do you think he nonchalantly died for his people? No, he did so because he loves us and he cares about us. And he will not put up, he will not suffer anybody picking on his children. He will allow it to happen for a time, but he will deal with it. Don't go around messing with the children of God. Amen? Don't be doing it. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, for when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. You know what? And we need to remember that. And that's what we're going to do now. We're going to remember our Lord's death.